David Lee Roth, 92.3 Free FM.
Check it out.
Yeah, man.
Cause life is slow when the groove is on.
Gotta check my email, man.
Talking to Ron Scholar here, David Lee Roth, live in the studio here, 866-313-3733, and we're talking about checking each other's emails. We used it as a jump-off point between Richie Sambora and Heather Locklear. Evidently, somebody emailed him. We don't know if this was mutual gear, if this was his own separate computer, or if this was the family computer, or what have you, and this is going to come out in court, right, Ron?
That's absolutely right. By the way, could you imagine the emails that Heather Locklear must get?
Oh, yeah, but she's going to deny virtually everything, as those are stalkers. That's much more, it's much more easy for her to dismiss that. Do married couples have a different variation of the law application than individuals living together?
No, there's been no distinction that's made in the law as far as that, except that this normally comes up in the context of a divorce case, and of course that happens between married couples. New York, for example, doesn't recognize common law marriage, so of course the ramifications would be different. The law's not different. You know, you're not supposed to read somebody else's mail or tape record somebody else's phone conversations or read somebody else's emails for that matter. But of course, in the context of a marriage and the context of a divorce, you have those ramifications.
Everything else is community property, no?
Well, it's supposed to be half of what is acquired during the marriage, unless you have children. According to Cy Reisman, the lawyer who handled my divorce, that's how it works.
Oh, okay. Did you have an experience like this?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes, I did.
And is this what precursed the idea to follow through on this case? What experience did you have?
That's not what causes it, but I could relate to this also because I went through this myself in my own divorce where we also shared a computer and there was some emails that were sent to me, not that I'm a celebrity, but I received some emails as well and sent a few myself. And, you know, this was found by my wife at the time. And that was not what led necessarily to the divorce, but that was, you know, perhaps rubbing salt into the wounds.
Certainly.
And then it becomes a form of legalized extortion when it goes to court and says, you know, otherwise this is going to come out or this or that or what have you. And, of course, in any war, which divorce is, the first casualty is the truth.
By the time the truth gets, the lies get 6 miles down the street before the truth even gets her boots on, huh?
That's right.
Okay, let's take number 10 here. Give me number 10, Hutch. Linda, she says celebrities don't get married. You're on, Linda. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, David Lee.
This is not Linda.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's okay, David. Listen, this guy actually, and let me finish my thought. Actually, this guy sounds very bitter, first off. And second off, those same rights and legal rights don't apply to me, getting married and all, but I feel that celebs shouldn't get married. I think that marriage, at best, doesn't work. And in my household, my girlfriend can open any ladder she wants.
Okay, so you've got a girlfriend who shares the same gear with you? Is that the case?
Absolutely. And you know what? We don't know the whole story. Richie might have done some things. We don't know.
Okay, and you say, what do you mean by celebrities don't get married?
Well, you know, they shouldn't. You know, we see all these marriages, Brad Pitt, you know, they're not all like Tom Hanks.
Okay.
He's the rarity.
Okay, go ahead. You speak to that, Ron. What do you think? Do celebrities actually ever get married, even if there's a piece of paper? Are they just two separate entities for life because of their occupation?
Well, I think it's difficult, not to sound bitter, of course. And I'm not bitter because I'm about to get engaged, by the way. But I think that when celebrities get married, they have extra strain and stress on their marriage because, you know, you have this whole public persona on top of it. You have less privacy than the ordinary person would have, and you have more demands on your time. So I think it's difficult when two divergent people, two different lives, come together, you know, and join together in marriage. And when those two people are celebrities, not only that one is a celebrity, but both are celebrities, I think, you know, you have a very difficult time, harder than most marriages. And you really have to be special people to work through that.
She says she's got a girlfriend. In terms of that, those kinds of couples there, those are individuals who in many places can't get married, okay? And do those, does that case now stand as two completely separate individuals with more stringent rights to privacy? Because they're, you know, she's talking about gay people, probably, okay? Two girls living together. They can't be married by state law, right. All right? So are they two clearly separate people, and do the rights of privacy act even more stringently in that case?
Well, I don't know that it's more stringently. I think the same rights would apply. Look, David, if a man owned a house, okay, and he owned it 100% in his name before he got married, and now he gets married, and now a letter comes addressed to his wife at that residence, and it's marked personal and confidential. It could be from her mother. It could be an innocent letter. It could be anything, okay? And then he opens that letter addressed to her. The mere fact that it's his house, that he owns it, or that, what, you know, he felt that, that he had the right to do that, or he suspected something, does not make it any less illegal, you know? And I don't know that the rights of two people who are, you know, living together as a gay couple, or roommates who are just living together to share expenses, or a married couple would be any less stringent in the eyes of the law. It's just that the way this comes up is in the context of a divorce case. And, of course, that has a whole different, you know, set of rules and a whole different body of law. And, you know, especially in New York, maybe it would be a better idea if we had no-fault divorce so that you wouldn't, people wouldn't have to do these things and have to, you know, come up with these grounds that usually get exaggerated and twisted and distorted.
You talked about roommates there, and that's popular, especially on the second half of New York, 23rd Street and South, okay? Mm-hmm. You got five different college students living in one place. That seems like an obvious to me, mm-hmm. that if you are sharing the rent, you got roommates, what have you, and somebody goes into your mail or your email, that's a clear-cut invasion of privacy. Agree,
right.
Or disagree?
I totally agree with you, and I agree also that just it's sort of like illegal downloading of music. The mere fact that the technology exists to enable one to do something doesn't make it right.
Good call. Thanks, Linda. Calling Lily. Lived in countries with no civil liberties there. Number 12, Hutch, get up. Roth Radio, you're talking to David Lee, Lily Cook.
Hi.
What do you think about this?
Well, I grew up overseas.
Where?
Okay, the official list is Spain, Holland, the United Arab Emirates, and Dubai, which is in the news right now.
Okay.
India, England, Hong Kong, and Japan. That's the legal list. I have spent time, however, in a lot of other countries all over the Middle East.
Okay, we have your resume. What's your theory? Go ahead.
My theory basically with this is, first of all, most of the people here in America who have want to put security ahead of civil liberties haven't spent a week in one of these countries where they see the people. When you don't have a right to privacy, when you don't have those, you know, those same safeguards that we have here or
certainly
to have here,
so
you
you're
take them for granted like you would not believe.
Okay, so your idea is that this is okay to do, is that, excuse me, you confused me. What do you think she's saying here, Ron?
Well, I think she's saying the same thing, that you do have a right to privacy, that you need to protect civil liberties. I agree.
Definitely.
With this caller. I think that, you know,
I do
there's
too.
Rights that we take for granted that you don't have in other places, and, you know, you don't miss the water till the well runs dry.
Thanks for the call. Okay, so she's got a limit. What? Pick the line. Number 13, Frank. Guess what he found in his wife's drawer? Go ahead, Frank. You're on Roth Radio. Hit it.
How you doing, Dave? Long time fan, man.
Go ahead, Frank.
Listen, in my situation, I happen to be married to a woman that, no matter what you say, she turns it around and makes it like you're wrong. You're always wrong, no matter what you say. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If you're in an argument or a disagreement, as soon as you raise your voice, you lost. You're done. You know what I'm saying? Because now, where I come from, when you get mad, you raise your voice. Where she comes from, when you get mad, you speak calmly and let's talk about this now. Now, when you're pissed off, how do you remain so calm where your voice doesn't change at all? That's not me. I'm not like a wooden person. You know, I'm not a piece of wood. You know, I have feelings. I express myself, and this is the way it is. So basically, what's going on is, this person is a musician, and, you know, she goes and does her gigs, and she makes money, which is cool. But on the other hand, Sometimes she comes home a little late, and I'll say, you know, where were you, you know?
Okay, so we're talking about checking on somebody's email or digging into their computer and what?
I understand that, and I'm going there, which I have no access to her emails because I don't have a password to get into it.
If you had the password, would you dig in there, Frank?
Sometimes I think I might because I'll give you an example. When we first got a computer years ago, I would walk past the room and she'd be on the computer, and every time I walked past the room, the screen would change. So after, you know, a couple of weeks of this, I'm saying to myself, something ain't right. So like the lunatic that I am, I walk past the room and I jolt in there and I put my hand on her heart and I say, she goes, what the hell are you doing? I said, well, I feel that if you were doing something wrong, your heart would be racing, and it is racing. So, you know, you must be doing something wrong.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Hold on. Now, hold on one second. So, Ron, do you think he's well within his means to go and dig into this computer and check through her stuff at this point? He has some basis for suspicion there.
Well, who owns the computer, for one thing?
Who owns the computer?
I don't think that's the main question, but it's still something I'd like to know.
Who owns the computer, Frank?
The computer is both of ours. I hardly use it because I don't have no time to read emails when I come home from work.
How do we even determine who owns the computer? Is that by receipt, who actually paid for it?
I guess technically that it would, but regardless of who owns it, if it's a shared computer, then the person could always say, well, you know, I stumbled upon it. We have the same password. I was checking my own emails, and I happened to see something that caught my eye, which, of course, you know, plays better than saying, hey, I hacked into your computer. I hired a computer expert, and now you're in trouble.
And now, but what he's saying is that they have separate passwords, and he does not know her password.
Right. In that case, do I think that's right? No, of course not. There's still an expectation of privacy, and technically it's illegal.
What are you going to do about this, Frank?
Well, let me just explain something a little further here. Last night, she gets a text message by some guy that, you know, supposed to be like her fifth or sixth cousin, who, like, goes everywhere where she plays.
Yeah, I know the cousin. I had a girl who suddenly developed a cousin with an Australian accent. But go ahead.
So, I mean, check this out. So, you know, here I am, you know, the nice guy that I am. I'm cooking. And she gets this text message, and she's reading it. So I said, who's that? She goes, oh, that's from my cousin. So I said, oh, yeah, what's that about? Oh, well, he's telling me about his friend that wants to go out tomorrow night. And his friend wants to use me as an excuse to get out, which the guy's married. He's using my wife as an excuse to go out with him, you know, with her cousin. So,
Frank, it sounds like greater issues than just the email here. You want to tune in on Mondays? We have Elizabeth Haight, the relationship specialist, and it may be a simpler issue than you think here. But you know what? Now knowing what you know, and now knowing, Frank, what you heard here from Ron, are you, if you find this password, are you now going to dig into her computer?
No, but I couldn't even get a text message because I don't even have the password to get in that.
Well, if nothing else, you got some great lyrics for a country song. Thanks for calling, Frank. What about telephones, Ron? Because I had an issue back in the early 90s, had a girlfriend that I was hanging around with and so forth, and she was making phone calls, and I suspected that she was calling somebody else, or more importantly, that somebody else was calling her while she was basically living out of my apartment. I was down on 2nd Avenue, okay? And after a point, I'd go and I'd punch, it was my telephone, and I'd hit calls received, and the numbers would come up, which at the point in time was kind of a novelty. Yeah. We didn't have that in every household, okay?
Yeah.
Is that legal?
In that context, yes, that would be legal, because if you have that feature on your phone, she knows it's on your phone, the same right of privacy.
She didn't
does
know
not,
it was on the phone.
But regardless, the same right, that matters very little. The same right of privacy that attaches to the numbers that are called does not attach to actually listening to those conversations. In other words, you know, listening to this, it's not a big deal.
Okay,
to find out who you're talking to, it is a big deal to be finding out what the conversation is. Just like
Wait a second. I'll thicken the plot here.
Okay.
Because I discovered I had one of those new Sony digital phones. They were the brand new issue. It was the first series of digital phones. I had never experienced this before, that it contained also an answering. machine inside. Mm-hmm. And I discovered quite by accident that not only the phone number registered, but I could listen to my messages. It was my phone, my telephone number. I paid the bill and I started listening in on the messages, and it was the messages that this fellow was leaving for my gal at the time. Is that legal?
Yes, because that was not a conversation between two other individuals that you were not a party to. And that's okay.
You're good, Ron. This is good stuff.
Praise from an expert.
These are the things that we ask ourselves, and you've got the real answers finally here. Give me up that somebody's going through his divorce here. 14. Andy, you're on. Talk to Roth. Talk to Scholar here. Go ahead, Andy. You're on.
Hey, Diamond Dave. How you doing?
Excellent. Thanks.
Listen, I found out my wife is cheating on me through listening to one of her phone calls.
How'd you listen? Stop. How did you listen to one of her phone calls?
Well, she thought I was sleeping. And actually, I passed by the room and I heard her talking to him about me and sexual things that she did with him.
Okay, you heard her talking on the phone, but not through the telephone. You heard it from her voice in the room, so to speak, correct?
I like to know if I could put a device legally on my computer, which is my computer in my name, to get her emails and find out more information.
Ron, speak to that.
That sounds like it would be improper to do and probably illegal. Again, we're in a gray area here with the internet. It's your computer and all of that. But to knowingly try to tap into third-party conversations, whether they're oral or whether they're via email, smacks of something that is probably illegal. Now, when you were listening to her phone conversation, I have a question for you. Were you simply listening to her speaking to him, or did you actually pick up the receiver and hear both sides?
I was listening to her. She was on her cell phone.
Oh, okay. Well, that of course is perfectly legal. You're listening to her. You didn't, pick up some other extension, whatever, and start listening to the two of them. Okay. Then what you did was, I'm sure, disturbing to you what you heard, but not illegal. So I guess, if that's any comfort, you didn't break the law.
Thanks for giving us a buzz, brother. We've been talking to Ron Scholar. He's the attorney who invented the pre-sexual agreement. He was here about a week or so ago. And we've been discussing about checking up on each other's emails. This is something that everybody arm wrestles over. This is a constant issue. Everybody's discussing this now. Nobody trusts each other in America
anymore.
No,
it's an emerging issue, too.
Are you going to come back and visit us again, Ron?
Anytime.
I learned a lot from this. God bless. Have yourself a great day. Don't go away, my friends. More guests after this. And don't forget, thanks so much to everybody down there on the Palm West. We got executive breakfast this morning. Special thanks to our chef, Sean. That's the Palm West at 50th Street, New York City. Thanks, Chris, our special general manager. Don't go away. You're going to be surprised at the guests we got after this. Some heavy lifting.
Mornings. David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
My next guest on the phone here, he was a drill instructor at Parris Island, South Carolina. He's a weapons expert, a black belt, and various martial artists. And you know him as the drill instructor on Celebrity Fit Club. Yeah, baby. Swing, baby.
Hey, how you doing?
His name is Harvey Walden here, and he's on the phone. Harvey, how are you today?
Outstanding. How about you?
Extraordinary. Now, you've got a number of guests here. This season's cast is Jeff Conway, Bruce Valanche, Chastity Bono, Countess Vaughn, Bizarre, Kelly LeBrock, Tempest Bledsoe, Young MC. Who's your best protege?
Right now, probably Kelly.
Why would Kelly be your best student there, Harvey?
She's definitely rocking and rolling this season. She's in the fight, and she's been that way since day one, so she's definitely my favorite right now.
Okay, so she's definitely looking to reclaim her frame, so to speak. Are the rest of them just on the show because of the publicity?
Maybe about half of them.
Okay, and what's the biggest issue that you run into with these kinds of celebs who are looking to lose weight? What kind of obstacle do you run into immediately when you're trying to instruct them in this, RV?
Just flat-out laziness. They're so used to having everything given to them and everybody doing something for them, and now they have to do it on their own, and just taking them out of that comfort zone. That's the hardest thing.
And how do you do that? Do you take a command voice, or are you gentle and accepting here?
Hey, I do by any means necessary, whatever it takes to snatch a little fat bus by the throat and get them in a fight. That's what I do.
And how do most celebs ascribe to that kind of an attitude? That sounds like a sport and bias. I understand that completely, but how do most celebs respond to that kind of an approach?
It's tough in the beginning. It's more a love-hate relationship, more hate than love. But, you know, in the end, they respect it, and they get on board with it.
Well, as a drill instructor, you know the saying that if they all hate you, at least they all hate you together, and they develop a little unit cohesion. Is that a good part of getting on the diets and getting these faces to lose the weight?
Yeah, you better believe it.
Do they support each other, really, or are they contestants? Are they competing with each other?
No, especially for the first time. I've been doing this. I do the same show over in Europe, and I've been doing it over there for 6 seasons. And this is the first time I've seen all 8 actually, unite as like one front. You know, this is really bizarre this season. So I got to take my hat off to them. They're one big team this time.
Well, that's kind of what you're opting for. Isn't that your background, is in creating a team spirit and getting people to motivate each other?
Yeah, but for the most part, you know, with the show, we try to do it, you know, team against team with a, you know, team against team concept. But this time, all 8, I mean, all 8 of them, they're one big happy family.
Outstanding. Congrats to you. That's a leadership issue. What's the hardest part of losing the weight? Is it the exercise or the food?
The self-discipline to have the two work together, really.
Well, you're talking like a lawyer. Which one's more difficult for most of these celebrities? Stop putting the food in their cake hole or actually doing the exercise? Because I got to imagine one or the other is going to be a little more complex.
Yeah, doing the exercise is probably the hardest part for them.
Really? Because I would have thought it would be the opposite.
Well, because I'm telling them what to do. You know, it's not them doing what they want to do and how they want to do it. I'm telling them, hey, this is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to do it, and you're going to do it for this amount of time. And that's, you know, that's not easy for them because they're used to being the ones in charge.
This is a fascinating transition for somebody like you, because back in the 60s, being in a military uniform was like being in a police uniform. That was that's the opposite of hero. We used to call the cops pigs. I didn't, but that was, you know, the hippie ethic, etc. And the idea of being in the military was super right wing. It was wrong. It was not cool. It was not cultural. Now, today, you're a hero, and you've got everybody lining up to live life like you've always lived it since the beginning. Do you see that transition happening?
Hey, if it works for them, it works for me.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is that the very same counterculture who reviled against the uniform and all of the techniques and the approaches that you learned from the military, now they're paying extra bucks. I see drill instructor teachers in the Crunch Gym and New York Fitness and the Health Club, and everybody is, trying to move into what is essentially a military approach to diet and exercise. People are paying top dollar for that, and I think it's fascinating that now that's the flavor of the year. Do you feel like that's the flavor?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, like for me, I'm still in the Marine Corps, and you know, the Marine Corps, we've been doing this for over 200 years, and if we've been rocking and rolling that long, believe me, it works. So
you think this is a good advertisement for the Marine Corps, Harvey?
Hoorah.
I'm talking to Harvey Walden. He's the ex-drill instructor from Paris Island, South Carolina, and he's the fellow who's leading the way with the Celebrity Fit Club. I haven't seen the episodes recently here, but how should we be working out? You know, if you got a busy work schedule, what do you recommend for the listeners who can't find a front runner like yourself? Where do people go? What's the best approach?
Hey, just get off the couch and get into the gym and make excuses why you should do it and not excuses why you can and you don't have time, because it's your life, you know?
How long you been in the martial arts, Harvey?
Since I was 6 years old. I got my first black belt when I was 6.
And what style of martial arts did you start when you were 6?
Jiu-jitsu.
Oh, we know jiu-jitsu here. And what martial arts are you doing currently? You still follow the routines?
No, I got to be perfectly honest with you. I haven't probably worked out in probably about 3 years in the dojo.
No problem. Let me ask you this. What's the Marine Corps take on yoga? Because we used to call it stretching. And we had to do it before the other exercises.
Yeah, we still do that without a doubt, but it's not called yoga.
Combat yoga. Has anybody approached you? Has any one of the celebs come to you and said, I do yoga as a physical regimen? That's what I do for my exercise. That's what I follow. What would be your answer to that?
Well, yeah, I had a couple. Even Tempest said she's a yoga fan, so I don't know. Well, you haven't seen an episode, but I took her to a Ha Ha Yoga session in L.A., and And it was a bit of a laugh, so.
Oh, you're talking about Bikram yoga where they put in the heaters and they turn it up to 110 degrees. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah, we've done that before, too. But this one is called ha-ha yoga where you laugh and you stretch at the same time. It's just pretty hilarious.
That sounds like a great time. What are the biggest mistakes we make when we're eating?
Too much portion control.
Too much portion, too much, too big, huh?
Yeah.
Because it's American big food is what I call that. Big steak, yeah. Big potato, big salad, you know? And you're saying that if you can eat basically the same things as long as you small down the proportions?
Oh, yeah, I mean, if it's bigger than your hand, then, you know, it's too much. And, you know, it's a balance. You know, you can't be eating, you know, midnights and trying to lose weight, you know what I mean?
I think I have a great idea. Let's take a phone call here and see if we got a question here for Arby. It's 866-313-3733. Vicky, you're on Roth Radio. You're talking to Dave. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Excellent. Talk to Harvey. You got a question
Harvey,
for him?
I just wanted to first say thank you. You're a great inspiration, and I think our kids, especially my children, watch the show Celebrity Fit Club, and they are getting so much just from watching it, and you as well.
Hey, I'm glad I can be an instrumental part of that.
Okay, well, I'm a big supporter of the military, Vicky. What do you, if one of your kids says they want to join the Marine Corps because they find a hero in Harvey, and he certifiably is, what would be your thought?
Well, you know, I guess I'd be okay with that. I don't know that they want to join the military, but they certainly are more interested in getting fit and being healthier. They're watching. I think what people don't realize is by watching the show, they're showing these kids that drugs and alcohol just is not the way to go. And that's the thing that I appreciate the most.
The hero of the show is not the celebs at all. That's the guilty pleasure. That's the car crash at NASCAR. The hero of the show is Harvey. There's no better outstanding example of what the military can offer you in a positive sense of the word. You agree with that, Vicky?
Oh, definitely. I definitely agree with that.
You agree with that, Harvey?
Oh, you better believe it.
Thanks for calling, Vicky. 866-313-3733. Where do you go from here, Harvey? How long does this season last for you?
We finished, actually, the finale is this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm right now currently filming the season over in London. Now we'll start shooting the U.S. season again in April.
And you're still affiliated with the Marine Corps. You're still full on paycheck and everything, right?
Yes, I work 7 days a week year round. Believe it or not.
And are you on base or are you you are a representative for all intents and purposes now, right?
Yeah, I'm stationed in Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Outstanding, great stuff, Animal. You got a question for Harvey?
Yeah, man, I've watched the show too, man. Because you know, I used to be like 390 pounds, and I didn't really want to lose the weight because of what I do. But when I lost the weight, people meet me the first time like, "Wow, you a big dude." But people that know me, they was like, "Man, you smoking crack or something? What are you doing, man?" You know, and I was like in denial about losing weight. And you said a little thing on that about, you know, being in denial of losing weight of how you're gonna look once it's over.
I think what he's talking about is how do you balance out what's the right weight for you? Is it about high speed, low drag, or is it about being a mountain mass? What do you think? Talk to that, Harvey. What's better, to be a lot of muscle and a lot of big, or to be aerodynamic, I call it?
Well, it's based on your height, actually. So, you know, if you can have a lot of muscle and be 5'5", but you know, once that muscle starts turning to flab, then you can fall into the obesity category. So it depends on your height and you can take it from there. Your body fat, of course, your BMI, all that plays a factor as well.
Harvey, let me ask you a question. You kept in contact with any of these celebs after the previous seasons?
Yeah, I talked to Joe from the first season a lot. Kim Cole, I talked to her quite frequently.
And are they still following through on all the routines you supplied them with?
Oh, yeah, for the most part, everyone's doing rather well. Ralphie, I heard, is still doing pretty good. I haven't heard from anyone else. Oh, Vicky is still doing extraordinarily well. Wendy, I talk to Wendy all the time.
This is good stuff, and you're naming a lot of gals, huh? Who are your favorite proteges, the guys or the gals?
Probably the gals.
And you see the most response in the gals?
Yeah, you do.
You see your work handling there. I'm talking to Harvey Walden. He is the boss of the Celebrity Fit Club, and he was a drill instructor at Parris Island, South Carolina. Got a message for everybody before we go here, Harvey?
hey, just get fit, you know. Get off the doggone couch, stop feeding your face with the food, and work out, and get that DVD and make some money.
That sounds like hoorah to me. Thanks for calling, Harvey.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Have yourself a great day.
Hey, you too.
Okay, let's lift some weights here, baby. Heavy lifting.
Cause you can, you won't, and you don't stop. Cause you can, you won't, and you don't stop. Cause you can, you won't, and you don't stop.
Mike D, come and rock for sure,
yeah. I got the brand new juice, you guaranteed like you. I'm on like that's a job, give it to juice. You are my newly red, I'm out of D4C. And everything I do is funky like Lee Dorsey,
yeah.
Well, it's a taking off the bell of 1, 2, 3, yeah. If you want a duty round, then come see me. I got the Sasquatch there with the unique from it. I keep it on and on, it's never quitting time in.
Strictly handheld is the style of gold. Never rock the bike with the pantyhose. The step on my ear, goggles, and I'm ready to go. Cause at the boards, it's the fan and call it Mario.
Well, I'm at the function and you know I Kodak. To all the body people that are on my phone, Jack. I'm not for action, remember man John Moo. And I got mad hits like I was Rod Carew.
You
won't and you don't stop. You won't and you don't stop.
Okay, we're up.
We're out. Woo! Get up, man.
Be young in the front there. Be bad. All right. Special thanks to Chris Gilman, our general manager from the Palm there, and Chef Sean. Yeah, did yourselves again, brothers. Amazing executive breakfast. Red meat first thing in the morning, baby. Ooh, it's not first thing in the morning for us. It's actually happy hour. Again, special thanks to the Palm West, 250 West 50th Street in New York City here. You know where to get the best steak. Animal, who was your favorite guest here this morning? Who was your favorite guest? Go ahead.
I would have to say Chris, man.
Chris?
Because I'm an artist like he is. I got his business card. I told him a little bit what I do. He's very interested in me, so I'm going to kind of like send him some of my work and see what he think about it.
Okay, you're talking about Chris Staros from the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. Did you grow up on comic books? I did.
I sure did. I even got some originals from the 70s, man.
Like Marvel Comics and stuff like that?
Yeah, Marvel Comics. My mom called me one day and said, hey, your little niece taking over your room. What you want to do with these comic books? I said, you could throw them away or send them to me. One day my mom sent them to me, and I didn't realize what I had.
And now you're going to pay the mortgage with it. Are you going to go down? What if we want to go down to the Javits Center for the comic convention there? You want to go?
Yeah, I was going to go, but I got a little birthday party for my wife. It's her birthday.
What is she going to be, 21?
Yeah, something like
outstanding
that.
Outstanding animal. But I can tell that you're lying because I know body language now. Oh, I do. And that was our body language expert, Janine Driver. What a great call that was, huh? You got to figure. Now, I learned a lot from that.
She forgot one, though. The stuttering. Nobody mentioned the stuttering when somebody's like, no.
Yeah, but animal, because of your size, everybody who, all they got to do is have you ask somebody what time it is, and most white people go, she did talk about that, though, the vocal range, the noise. It's that little muscle that Sasha uses when she pretends she's surprised. I don't have the muscle. I can't make the noise here. I'll try. The guitar has that muscle. Be young up in the front there. That's be young, be bad with an exclamation point. Be young. Play a little guitar one time. Okay, now you're officially Sean White, our Olympic gold medalist in snowboarding's guitar teacher, right? Is that part of your resume officially?
Yeah. He told me he'd come back once in a while and take a lesson from me.
Okay, when are you guys? Is he still in New York City here, or is he taking off back to L.A.?
He left yesterday or today. He's going to San Diego.
Okay, is he a pretty good guitar player?
Yeah, the next time he comes out, he's going to do some track blasting. He'll be the first guy I let sit in.
Really?
He can do it.
That's amazing stuff. How long has he been playing?
2 years.
Okay, so he's just getting to the hard part of the heavy lifting here, huh?
He's doing great.
Excellent. You guys went down to the guitar store together. Where did you go?
Manny's Music.
And did he buy a guitar, or did you guys just hang out?
We just jammed.
Outstanding. What is the kind of stuff is he listening to? He's 19 years old.
He actually played a whole bunch of Zeppelin stuff, so he wasn't just talking when he said he likes Zeppelin. He knew about 15 songs.
He's got the combination. So do we here, evidently. Judging by all the emails, this is officially the eighth week of my broadcasting career. 2 months, if you don't speak metric. And it's been really interesting, hasn't it, to see what the emails and the various calls that come in here. Because we're getting a lot of the young, like Sean, you know, between the ages of about 18 and 25, who have nothing to do with classic rock, who have nothing to do with talk radio. They're completely coming from the Linkin Park, you know, generation there. And in fact, those mashups that we've been playing there, that's Alberto, our phone operator extraordinaire, Al B. Those of you who are mixologists, you'll know him as Al B, working those Van Halen mashups there with Eminem. I think that was the Beastie Boys who piled one up there. You know, also, we're getting the classic rockers. What are you guys doing listening to me? You're supposed to be listening to Freebird over on the other channel there. And every time we talk about the Guns N' Roses or Van Halen or whatever, people just pile on like it was a classic rock station. That's until we start talking about the Port Authority and we start talking about Dubai and the politics, and all of my brothers and sisters in uniform show up en masse on the telephone. I'm card carrying. I'm an EMT here in the state of New York. Badge 327-466. I call it the Blue Team, and I'm official member of the Blue Team. And evidently, we're speaking to something in somebody, because we get the union fellas, we get the fire people, we get the police, we get the paramedics, we got the military, we got the aviation wing, we get Coast Guard calling in here, we get Hasidic Jews, lawyers. Well, the lawyers are calling for a whole nother reason. But it's been a really amazing, I think it's called a demographic, man. It's just been across the board. And for those of you who want to hear this on your real radio set as opposed to on the internet, because we are streaming worldwide here, davidleeroth.com. And we're picking up emails from as far away as Tokyo to Cheyenne. We're talking Tulsa to Rio de Janeiro, Berlin, all the way back to Bangkok, Thailand. And I'm not exaggerating here, whether it's in Australia or Fairbanks, Alaska. Everybody seems to be plugging into this. I understand now that there's something like 70 million people who use the internet exclusively for their musical and entertainment vibe here. So I guess we're right up on the front of that as well. It's been an interesting 8 weeks, though. And if you want to hear this on your real radio station, wherever you're picking this up, all you got to do is get on the phone, call up the PD, the program director, station director, the disc jockey, the guy who's dropping off the FedEx, the janitor who works at nights, and the gardener who works in the front there. And if you need any help with those people who speak Spanish, you can call me and I'll translate for you. Oye, míralo, baby, yeah. Got that. Also, I want to clarify some of the music that we play here before we go on out here. We got a few more minutes, but what I've been closing with is a very familiar song to all of you who've been listening to the show since the inception here. It's from a band called Mother's Finest, actually, and it's from the late 70s. In terms of general attitude and in terms of general festivity, this sells it the best for us here. Now, next week, we are taking a vacation. We didn't want to. We do this whole show standing up, by the way. B. Young is on foot. Hutch is on foot. I do all 4 hours. I don't sit down not 1 second. And in fact, I'm up to 3 t-shirts now. I changed my shirt 3 times as we move through this. Now, I'm standing on a little piece of cardboard that we taped down on the floor. And when I started, it took me 2 weeks to shred it. That was the average. I now go through one piece of cardboard once a week. The show is hot. The show is up in tempo. Brian?
It's actually 82 degrees in here right now, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had to plug up the vents in the ceiling because of the debris that was raining down on us, and everybody was sitting around rubbing their noses like junkies.
You're running a sweatshop, Dave.
No. I think of it more like the engine room. Down here, rowing like we stole something, baby. Welcome to the lion's den. Yeah, that's right. Down here, where the oars are. In the bullpen, Roth Radio. We're not going to be on next week, and I don't think we're going to be broadcasting the greatest hits or whatever on the internet. So when you hear some other voices here on this traditional radio station, I think it's, what's his name, in Elvis, okay? They're coming in, and you got another morning team or something like that?
That's only in New York.
I'm sorry, just in New York?
Yeah.
So what, they're going to use afternoon teams on all the different stations? Bring the love, baby. Bring the love here. If you have a great time with this, tell a friend. Tell the people at the radio station, and it'll be great. We'll be back. If you had a lousy, creepy, stinking, low time with us, well, we're still coming back anyway, baby, so tell an enemy here. And if this is worse than I think it is, call up and get me fired for full pay. Not my total choice here. But Roth Radio, Animal, say goodbye.
Goodbye, okay, world. We shall be back.
D-Rug, be young. Let me hear you one time. Okay, let me hear the British accent one time there, Hutch.
Bye-bye, everybody.
You got to have one of those in every rock band, right? David Lee Roth, live, New York, talking to Philadelphia, all about Dallas, Texas, Boston. Go there often. We're going to be going down there, in fact, on St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to fly down there with Animal and Be Young in that big helicopter, man.
I can't wait, man.
I'm going to pilot our way from West 30th all the way down to the Logan Airport there. A special mission on, where else would be better to spend St. Patrick's Day than in Boston? So that comes up as well. You're not going to hear us next week, but it doesn't mean we're unemployed, baby. David Lee Roth. Hoorah! Yeah, mama!
There is no...